We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Put your Bibles to a passage that you might not think of as encouraging, but it's in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Would you look at that for a minute? We are concluding a series of talks about mountaintop experiences, about moving mountains. And you've heard us talk about, you can take that off the screen just for a moment. You've heard us say that, you know, the Bible has many references to mountains. There are 500 places where mountains are mentioned. And usually it was a mountaintop experience where God did something in someone's life. The reason that we relate with the Bible is because God does the same thing today. We have our mountaintop experiences. There often, when it talks about mountains, it's talking about people being closer to God. The Hebrew people believed the closer they were, the higher they were, the closer they were to God, which would mean that number one place to live in 2018, Colorado Springs, it's because we must be closer to God here. We have the privilege of seeing mountains every day, don't we? And you can remember, when you look at the mountains, if you think your problem is big, that God is bigger because he made those mountains. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I just felt like that was a place that needed an amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would anoint this word in Jesus' name. Lord, there are so many things that we read in the Bible, and we just miss them. They land on ground that's not ready or whatever. Lord, I pray that you would till the ground of our hearts today and our ears. I know that many times that I've come to church and I've not been listening because my ears were not attentive, and it's nobody's fault but my own. Lord, I pray that they would not blame the preacher, that they would blame themselves. Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Or you don't have to say amen. I'll say amen for you. But I don't know if you've ever driven into Colorado in a moving truck. Our brother and sister, David and I can't remember her name because I can't see her, David and Amy, they are not here today. They were moving their car in. They went from a different angle to Colorado Springs. But I came to Colorado Springs from California in a moving truck, and I'm not the best driver. And I am the best driver, but some don't believe that I am. And And you drive up the mountains, it's not the easiest thing to do. When you drive down into the valleys, it is. It's kind of fun. You fly down the hills, and it's exciting. But it can be very annoying cruising at 15 miles an hour trying to get to your destination when you're going up back the other way. You understand what I'm saying? You know, in talking about mountains, you have to acknowledge that where there are mountains, Someone told me this week, and I said, amen, that's what I'm talking about today. Where there are mountains, what else are there? Amen, there are valleys. There are valleys that we go through. And I want to challenge you with a few questions as we close this series. And don't yawn, Mary. I saw that yawn back there. Wake up, wake up. Just kidding. Someone's like, oh, I hope he doesn't pick me out, but I'll pick Mary out anytime. I don't mind telling her. Don't be yawning. We're not almost done. I was gonna say we're almost done, but we're not almost done. But I want to ask you some questions as we close this series on mountains. Some questions to challenge us from settling for shallow in our lives. When God puts a dream in your heart, when he puts destiny in your life, when you know there are, you just know that you know that you know, there are greater things God has for me. There are greater things. I just know. I just know there's something just beyond a dream that I can't explain it to you. I can't describe it. Although Joseph was able to describe his dreams, maybe you feel like, I'm kind of like Joseph. He's given me a dream, but I can't completely flesh it out right now, what he's asking. But when God gives you a dream, or when God shares, impresses upon your heart through the Holy Spirit, there's greater for you, Von Trees. When you know there is, you need to ask questions like this. One of them is this: why don't we climb the mountain God asks us to climb. Sometimes we don't climb the right mountains. We're afraid or whatever. Sometimes valleys are inevitable, but why do we walk into the valleys we don't have to walk into? You know, there are times people believe, oh, as a Christian, there's going to be a lot of tough times, so I got to walk into the valley of the shadow of doubt, death or doubt or fear. Walk into that. Sometimes you're not even meant to go back into the valley. There are valleys you're never meant to go into. Why do we stay in valleys when God has a mountain for us to live on? Well, God uses the valleys. Yes, he uses the valleys, but sometimes we stay in valleys thinking, I just wish I could get it. And God's like, get out of it. I got the mountaintop for you. Just come along. These are rhetorical questions. Like, I'm not going to ask each one of you to answer them, but I want to encourage you to balance being content in God, in Christ. I love Jesus, and I'm just happy. I'm just thankful. I just praise the Lord for where I'm at now. It's not where I want to be. It's not where I could be, but there's a balance between being content and then moving on to bigger and better that God has for you. We need to always be reaching higher, and often we'll just settle for my humble place, for the shallow water. Just humble. I'm just so humble. I'm probably the most humblest person in the room. Bless God, I'm so humble. You're not as humble as me. Look at my life, where I'm at right now. And God would say, you got to balance, because there's the story. It's not in the Bible, but you know the story of the chicken and the eagle. You've heard it. You've probably heard it many different ways. But, you know, the story is told of the farmer who finds an eagle egg. He brings it home to the farm. He puts it in the chicken coop. The eagle hatches out of the egg. He hangs out with the chickens his whole life, scratching the ground. And I don't know what else, Marilyn, what else do chickens do? They scratch the ground. They chicken scratch. They eat their nothing. They eat their, what do they eat? Seed, grain. They eat their grain. They live their lives in their chicken coop. It can't be that exciting of a life. And then one day a chicken looks up, or he's not a chicken, but he thinks he's a chicken. He looks up into the sky, and he sees a majestic eagle flying, soaring. And he says to the other chickens, he's an eagle, right? He's a baby eagle, but he doesn't know it. He says, oh, man, what is that? That's amazing. And they say, oh, well, that's an eagle. That's the most majestic creature that has ever flown in the air. That's a bald eagle. In fact, our country uses it as their mascot. It's amazing. And they get to eat whatever they want. They get to fly wherever they want. If they want to go to Australia, they go to Australia. It's amazing. And the chicken says, oh man, that would be amazing. And then the chicken say, oh, I know what you're doing. Don't even think about it. Dismiss it. Because you know why? You'll never do that, because you are only a chicken. You'll never be like the eagle when all the while, isn't that so sad? So sad when all the while he was an eagle. Often we do that ourselves. We settle, and there is a balance between doing our best and producing fruit. But Jesus condemned, are you listening? We talked about it a few weeks ago. He condemned those for exercising not enough faith. He said to them, you are a perverse generation, because they were settling for living like chickens. Moses, one of the most iconic heroes in the Bible. If you ask someone, what do you know about the Bible? Well, name someone in the Bible. Well, Moses, right? You know Moses. Moses was meant to live as an eagle. He was like the mascot of the Old Testament, living as eagle. But do you know that really Moses ended up settling for living like a chicken? He really did. His life didn't get everything that God had planned for him. Moses, the guy Moses, it was because of just a little act of disobedience. One of the saddest moments in the whole Bible, in the Old Testament, that has to do with the mountaintop experience, had to do with Moses. We're going to look at it right now. It's going to encourage you very much. I know it will. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And it says this, on that same day, the Lord told Moses, go up into Abraham's range to Mount Nebo in Moab across the Jericho and view Canaan. Sounds like Star Wars, doesn't it, Mariah? Nebo, Mount Nebo. And the land I am giving the Israelites is their own possession. There on the mountain, verse 50, that you climbed, you will die and be gathered to your people. Well, praise the Lord. Just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor. We don't like to talk about mountains when it's like this, and I don't like that name, Mount Hor, at all. And was gathered to his people, verse 51. This is because both you and Abraham broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh. And see? Sounds like Star Wars again. In the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites, therefore you will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I'm giving to the people of Israel. Very exciting, isn't it? Very encouraging. Can you relate? It seems like your dream is right there on the next horizon. You're taking these people along. You're obeying God. You're doing what he said. You do one thing wrong, and then all of a sudden you see it just on the distance, and you can't enter the land. I promise you this gets more encouraging as we go, because there's another mountain that I want to talk about. But inheriting your promised land, living on another level, as we say we're talking about, can always seem to be, I see someone that probably he sees this at times, can be one step out of reach. Just not yet. Not yet. It's in reach, but it's one step out. This young man is an Olympic skater. He's planning to be in the Olympics in 2022. And I can imagine that at times when you're in those competitions and you're doing great, you feel like, oh, man, I'm almost there. And then the next competition, there's always going to be a mistake. And then you think, I'll never make it. I'm one step away from the dreams God has for me. Do you notice the passion that I have in my voice right now? I feel very passionate about this because I love it when I preach. Hopefully I do this every time, but when I preach something that I know is true and that we can hold on to this. But even after hearing God's voice at times, well, I remember hearing God's voice. I was at this place at this time. I was this age. I heard God. It was just a whisper. But I heard him. Maybe it was in the form of a whisper. Maybe it was in the form of a fire like Elijah had. But then we settle for shallow. We don't climb the mountain God asks us to climb, or else we stay in the valley too long, or else we get into valleys we're not supposed to even be in. And God says, I know it's just right out of your reach. Just keep going. Let me tell somebody. Don't give up. You're almost there. You say, well, that's just a nice preaching thing that you say. You just say that to encourage people. Well, you know, you come to church to be encouraged, and the Bible can encourage you. And I would tell you that Jesus said that he will always be with you everywhere you go. You don't have to give up. He is for you, not against you. Amen. Ironically, we let our disqualifications keep us from what God wants. And I would say you're not disqualified, but you think you are. We might say something like, I will never live on that level. I see this person, or I see this place, or I see this calling that you have, but I can never do it. I will never make it there. What disqualified Moses? I just said it briefly earlier, but disobedience disqualified Moses. What disqualifies us from entering into the promised land God desires for us? Well, probably disobedience can disqualify us, although there's good news, right? Maybe fear disqualifies us. Maybe doubt. Maybe insecurity. People are so insecure these days, aren't they? Right when you think you're insecure, there's someone more insecure than you. Even people that look like they got it all together, people can be so stuck on, oh, poor me, and they're so insecure. And God is in control. Maybe it's inconsistency for you. Maybe you feel like, oh, I hit on all cylinders, and then all of a sudden it feels like I need a new transmission on my spiritual life because I start going up the hill, and I can't make it up the hill just like my Dodge Caravan did. That's how you feel. And if you're a Dodge Caravan, I feel sorry for you because I've had two of them, and they're not great at climbing mountains. Maybe it's because of unfaithfulness to God, unfaithfulness to what he's called you to do. I want to make you feel real good and condemned right now because I got some good news. But before I give the good news, got to give the bad news. Who's ever criticized the Israelites? I don't know if you've been there. I've done this many times. You say, oh, man, can you believe it? If you would look, you know, there's a map in the front of your Bible, and you can look at where the Israelites went on their walk. It took them 40 years, if you didn't know that. You know, the Israelites were going to their promised land. They're going to what God called them to. And us, we think, oh, well, it's been 3 years for us. It was 40 years for them. Man, what's wrong with these guys? Do you know that if you looked at how fast they went through the desert to their promised land, they only went 6 miles a year. That's as far as they got, 6 miles a year. That is ridiculous. How could that have happened? But we relate on their journey to the promised land because we fall short too. We only got, 250 miles they had to go. Oh, I can make it there. And then the next year, you're 6 miles. Oh, I can make it there. The next year, you might have gone backwards a little bit. I don't think anyone goes backwards because God makes sure that you're always moving forward, but sometimes it feels like it. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? Just say, yeah, I'm with you. Whether you're with me or not, wake you up. Two chapters after God showed up to Moses and showed him the promised land on Mount Nebo, Moses climbed the mountain again. Unfortunately, this time it was not, oh, because God's got a new plan for me. He's going to show me something else. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 34. This is the second time he went to the mountain with God. Actually, not the second time. There was some times before that were great times when he was on a mountaintop experience, when he got the Ten Commandments and all those things. But this time, Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of, I'm not allowed to say that word, Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised to oath to Abraham. And I can think, Moses is thinking, oh, I get to go. I guess this is my day. This is my day. This is what he's going to say. I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes. But Moses, you're not crossing over into it. You're only seeing it with your eyes. And then one of the most exciting verses in the Bible. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, I want you to memorize this for our memory verse for today, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. Death was Moses' final chapter. We're almost finished. But ironically, we wander through our deserts like Moses for way too long. We fail to move mountains for lack of faith. We stand in water that's only waist deep. And we end up like Moses, exactly just one step away. We fall short of the glory of God. You know, the Bible says all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But as Moses died on Mount Nebo, I like to call it Mount Nebo, even though it's pronounced Mount Nebo, and failed to walk into the promise, someone else died on another mount, bringing a new promise. You know where I'm going? History labeled this other mountain a mountain of death, a hill of execution. In fact, the root of the word came from the prophecy that said, he will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head. This mountain was called the mountain of death, Golgotha. God had other plans for this mountaintop experience, and at the present, it didn't look very happy. Here before us on the mount called Golgotha. And would you indulge me? I want to explain it to you. I want to lay it out for you. I want to explain it to you. Because sometimes we need to be creative in what we say. There was a mount called Golgotha, a man who lived quite different than Moses. He lived a sinless life, had perfect love for all people. Well, I know this story. Well, it's worth mentioning again because it's what you base your salvation on. Never wandering in a desert, although he did wander once. Not 40 years, but 40 days praying and fasting. Now on a mountaintop, not closer to God, as usually you are when you go to a mountain. In fact, this time, he was further away from God than any other man has been in the history of the world. As he cries out, God, did you forsake me? Where are you? And the sky turns black and you can smell the demons in the atmosphere. This mountain whose name meant skull. If you had stood there during this, you could see, as Moses could see, just beyond the cross, you could see a city, the city of David, Jerusalem, the capital, so to speak, of the ancient promised land that Moses was looking at. You could see it in clear sight. Where Moses died on that mountain, he could see it. Now Jesus sees it, and he's going to die as well, breathing his last, seeming like all mankind will have no hope forevermore. Depressing, right? As I have said over and over through this collection of talks, you may feel at your weakest. You may seem to be at your lowest valley. Maybe you feel like you just sacrificed your only son. Maybe your sacrifice on the altar, as in Elijah's day, the wood was wetter than it's ever been before. Maybe you feel like I can see it, but it's just beyond me. It's just one step away. I can almost taste the gold medal, but it's not there yet. I can almost taste the destiny, the next thing that God has for me. But even when things seem the darkest, like on the mountain of execution, or maybe your mountain is the mountain of persecution, when you feel like you can't go on, God, the Spirit of God, maybe, and I would say probably is, positioning you and aligning you to walk in another level kind of destiny. Well, you don't know my life. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I deserve. It doesn't matter what we deserve. It doesn't matter what I deserve. God has another level kind of destiny, and he doesn't base it on us. He bases it on somebody else who was on another mountain named Jesus. Would you come forward, Madeline, and lead us in some music? When it seems that there is no ram in the bushes, God's glory shines the brightest. And listen, as Abraham was provided a sacrifice, as we talked about our very first week, on the mountain before he almost took his son's life, we are provided a lamb on this mountain, so we don't have to pay the penalty for our lives. Jesus did that for us. Our fate, here's the good news, it's finally coming. Here it is. Hear this part. If you feel depressed, know this. Your fate is not the same as Moses. Yes, you have disobeyed, and you probably disobeyed way more than Moses did. You can barely find the place where Moses disobeyed God in the Old Testament. It's hard to even find the place. Go look for it. Go look for it this week. You can find a lot of places where I've disobeyed Jesus, where I've disobeyed what God has called me to do. We do not deserve the promises. We do not deserve eternal life. We do not deserve the promised land. But Jesus became the sacrifice on the mountain called Calvary. And the place of the skull became the place of your redemption and mine, for all of us to live in greater destiny, new levels. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? God, we're so sorry for taking for granted the forgiveness that we have in you. We like to talk about all kinds of things at church. And sometimes we forget the most important in our lives, and that is the story that happened on a mountain called Golgotha, where you forgave us. As I have said in this collection of talks, God always has greater destiny for us to fulfill. And the reason it can be true is not because we have the law from Mount Sinai. It's because we have the freedom from the law and the fulfillment of the law on Mount Calvary. God, I can't help but be poetic in my talking because your word is so real and so amazing that the whole first half prophesies the second half. It flows so well together. It would almost seem like you must have orchestrated it to teach us in today that we can have the life that you have called us to have, that we can have an abundant life. I embrace that, God. I say, God, what you said through your son, Jesus, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. I embrace that, Lord. I embrace that. And right now, as we sit here in this moment before we close, I want to ask you the question I asked at the beginning. Are there mountains that you have not climbed up because you are afraid? Are there mountains that you gave up on because you couldn't make it to the top? You almost made it there. I wish I could show the video of Jared. You can look on Facebook. Jared did a mount, has done 14. How many 14ers have you done? 17 14ers. He's climbed to the top. And he did a video. He put it on his Facebook last night. And it was one that he did. He didn't make it to the top because of a storm. And I'm not saying that he's unspiritual. I'm saying he's smart. He shouldn't go to the top if there's a storm. But in life, if there's a storm and you're just almost there, no, God can get you the rest of the way. And I asked you the question, are there mountains that you almost got up and you gave up on? Are there valleys that you're staying too long in? Are there valleys that you're in and you shouldn't have ever been in that valley at all? Pick yourself up, get on the horse of the Holy Spirit, and let him take you to where he wants you to go. Just ask him right now, God, what more do you have for me? Maybe you've done great things in your life. I promise you he's got greater things ahead. If he didn't, I wouldn't continue living for him. I know he's got greater things ahead. I know that every day is going to be better than the last. And sometimes it might be harder than the last, but in the end, I'm going to see God closer. I'm going to see him more clearly, and I'm going to get to my promised land. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. Would you stand with me? If you're here in this place, I would think in a room full of believers, there would not be someone like this, but always there are those in the walk with God. If it's as hard as it's been for me, then I assume that there are people that have given up. Maybe you would never admit it, so right now you might not admit it to me. But maybe you've given up and you say, I can't make it to the top. Or I see something just beyond. I can almost taste it, but I'm not there yet. I know that God's called me to this promised land, but I feel like I'm just going to die on Mount Moab. I'm going to die on Mount Nebo. I need strength. If you're here in this room, I know that that could be a broad number for a broad number of reasons. At first, when I said this, I was thinking just those who don't know Jesus. But anyone in the room that feels like you're just not quite there yet, would you just bow your heads with me as privacy? And I want you to tell the Father God right now, God, yes, I know that you know my heart and you know where I'm at, but I admit right now, yeah, that's where I'm at. I need your help. God, where are you? Would you show me? Would you help me make it to the next place? Just put your hand up so God can see it. Just put it up and maybe you want to put it right back down again. Hands all over the room. Because I know there is it may not be a spirit of defeat, but there is a belief that we are defeated in Christ. And that's not true at all. You are not defeated. You've actually won the race. You just got to admit it and you got to press on and watch God come through. I promise you, that's how it works. That's the real thing. It may not come the way that you think it's going to come, but God knows what he's doing. Tell him right now, I don't give up. I don't give up. Would you say this prayer with me today? I was going to read a prayer, but I think we'll just, what's in our hearts. Father God, would you say this with me? Father God, I come before you, not under an old covenant. I've fallen short of your glory. You can admit that. That's good to admit. It feels good to admit. I've come short of your glory, but I am under a new covenant. Through Jesus' death on the cross, that says, I am forgiven. So right now, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to help me to see your goal for me more clearly. You don't have to repeat this, but Lord, I pray that every person in this room would make it to their promised land. They would not give up, and they would remember the only way that we get anywhere is through the grace, the amazing grace of Jesus. Let us not take that for granted. Let us not walk with our heads down thinking, well, you don't know me. You don't know what I've gone through. God gives you grace. Walk in that grace this week. Walk in that grace until you see the fulfillment of that destiny that God has for you. Jesus.
Thanks for listening today. Amen. Remember, amen. God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.